Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. Omar Kelly up with us this morning. Very busy yesterday. I actually ran into him a few times at the game before and at halftime. So you're up 17-0, and finally the Panthers go, you know what? What are we doing? Let's get back to doing everybody else. So let's start running between the tackles. Are we been a dumbass? What are we doing, man?
What are we doing?
What are everybody we doing? Everybody runs against them. Hell, the Little League team's running against that. Anyway, you heard everything. And Mike going after it pretty good as well after the game. What do you do? I mean, it's bad. What do you do at this point? 1-4, a horrible, horrible loss, and three quarters of really bad football.
At this point, you have to realize that you don't have what you need at nose tackle and at defensive tackle in order to have a successful defense. I know everybody's going to say, oh, you got to play the rookies. Do you? Do you?
You do now.
Allowing, no, you don't. They're allowing 5.6 yards per carry. And what's stunning is that they know that the play at the defensive line, you know, it's been tragically bad. Like when I say tragic, it's been horrendous.
Yeah.
And they've done nothing. This problem hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse because when you put it on film, teams just continue to copycat one another until you figure out how to stop it. And they even demoted Kenneth Grant. And when he's on the field, teams are hitting him with two blockers, because they can drive him down the field and create running lanes. And you just cannot anchor against the run right now. So, and you can't do anything until you can do that.
Omar, the one thing you can't do is bench your first round pick. High first round pick.
Why can't you bench your first round pick?
He's got to keep playing.
Did you bench Noah Igbinoghi? When he was out there playing and he cost the game when Russell Wilson...
Yeah.
I mean, Kenneth Grant is costing the team the game.
So what are you going to do about Savai Nye on the other side, too, who's about as bad as you can play right now? So what are you going to do there?
That you got no hope. He's got to continue to play, and you hope.
So what's the difference in one over the other?
One's giving you – Sevenai is not getting picked on. He's giving you five bad plays a game. That's not the case with Kenneth Grant and Jordan Phillips, because it's not just Kenneth Grant.
No, it's by the way, it's a lot of those guys, because it's a struggling group right now. There's no question about it. I mean, those numbers yesterday, we literally got that guy, Rico Dattle, like he was like, man, what a great week for the starting running back to get injured. Hap them right.
Get all my numbers
in one frigging game.
He was a 1,000-yard back last year. So people sleeping on. I don't know why Dallas gave up on him. I don't know what the situation is, why he's there.
He's good back
like that.
He's a good back without the breakaway speed. He's good. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're right. The issue is also the offensive line. The problem is, Savanai would be better if you were able to give him some protection. By not always giving the protection to the right side of the offensive line. But, you know, the problem is with the defensive line, you don't have any other options. What are you going to do, play Keon Smith out there or maybe Daniel Brunskill? I don't know.
No, it's thin. It's super thin. I get you. I'm not – yeah. It's thin. The whole thing on both lines is it's thin.
Yeah.
We can agree on that, but, like, 14 carries for 19 yards and 1.4 average. How much can Mike talk about the defense when they can't run it?
Yeah, no, that was bad as well. Fortunately for them, they could pass the ball. I think Tua had another efficient day. He's back to 100 rated quarterback, which blows my mind because I really don't think he's playing that well. But he's completing 70% of his passes, back to having 100 passer rating, which, you know, hey, okay. They were not good on third downs yesterday. That was, you know, the final play. And I know you want to get into the punt, which I actually agreed with. You're 4th and 17 at the 15-yard line. What are you going to do? Like, you're not converting a 4th and 17, especially with the protection that you have.
No, it was bad. That's why they didn't do it. Yep.
They kicked the ball. They used their three timeouts. If Bryce Young didn't convert a 3rd and 5 on a penalty by Jack Jones, they would have got the ball back.
Yeah.
With 50 seconds left. So, you know, it is, you know, about roughly 50 seconds left. Who knows what would have happened then? Who knows if they could have blocked the punt?
I'm not second guessing that, by the way. That was a Woody thing. So, you know, I didn't have 4th and 17, I think is what it was. And you're right. We're going to have no time to throw it. And at that point, offense. But the other one I want to get into is the throw. You did not think that was a good throw on that slant, a little slant to Waddle. It's over his head. Please, he got one hand on it. If not, if he didn't get a hand on it, things gonna get picked most likely. That's got to be a lower throw.
That's got to be a lower throw. I haven't seen it from good angles, so I can't sit there and criticize that one. They miss passes. I mean, it's. You know, I think I watched the rush. He had to step up or step back or something. It doesn't matter. You elite quarterbacks make those plays. But then the series before, he makes the touchdown pass to Jalen Waddle.
Waddle made nice play, nice stutter and go, nice separation. It was it was beautiful.
All the defense has to do is get a stop, and you should win the game. But you know can't stop a nosebleed.
No. Hey, I got to ask you the comments after the game, Mike. Did you take it, Mike, going after Anthony Weaver pretty good on the schemes and stuff a little bit, not making adjustments, or did other people read into that differently?
I don't think it's on Anthony Weaver. Anthony Weaver's trying a lot of things. Mike knows. Mike doesn't do anything on defense. Let's be real about it. So you know, Weaver's trying things. What is Mike going to go? Mike going to go coach the defense for a week? What do you want him to do? Like, you know, just sit there and listen and try to figure out. This is a personnel issue. This is not a scheme issue. This is a personnel issue.
I agree with the whole thing, because we thought it was thin, and now we're going, it's worse than thin. Yeah, no, it's. I agree with you, Omar, and we've been talking, Woody and I have been talking about that this morning. So what's going to happen? I got 9,000 messages last night asking, so what's going to happen? We get it. And they say the same things after every game. All the same things are said. It's not acceptable. Yeah. But we're hanging together and all. So what?
Yeah.
What do we tell everybody? What do we tell? You're the bridge to the fans. So what do you tell them is going to happen? I want to hear this one as one of the more popular guys we have on the beat.
No, there's nothing going to happen right now. They're going to continue to dig themselves a deeper hole. What should happen is they should go and claim, sign, coach any kind of defensive lineman that can give them a pulse. It's a disaster, and it's not going to get any better until you actually get people who can anchor down. I mean, what are the other option? Are we going to go switch to a complete 4-3? Is that what you want to do?
It's funny you said that. It is funny you said that because there are people. I remember we went through some three-man problems, and we switched it, and some guys weren't comfortable with it. We went to a four-man defensive line, and I wonder if that's something to go. By the way, do you really believe after Chris Greer drafted those guys and Mike signed off on it that they're just going to give up on all those young guys at this point after five games? Do you think that's going to happen? And I know they've been bad. I know how they're grading out. Do you think Chris Greer, who's already on the hottest seat in the world, and now we're going, and so Mr. Ross makes a private call to Mike and goes, "Hey, Mike, what's he doing?" He goes, "These guys that Chris Greer got me, they can't play. I mean, how's that going to go?" I think we lost him. So I wonder why he got so quiet, man. That was Omar getting very quiet there for a second. Yeah, I am. Not giving up on them, man. They're not. And hey, man, if the confidence is shot, then I agree. If confidence is shot and everybody, your assistant D-line coach and Austin Clark goes, "Hey, man, he lost it. We got to work on getting it back." That wasn't the message I got before the game yesterday. And then Zeke Biggers, do you start? If it's going to be like this, we might as well play him if it's about the future. It's bad. Dead last, 174 yards a game, 5.6 average. It is, it's bad right now. Nobody's questioning that's a problem. Like, right. And I'm not looking for other people to blame. And, you know, I get it. That's number one. That's number one. Nobody would argue when you're 32. And a big number. And by the way, the one on the other side is we're just not good on the D and offensive lines right now. It's not good enough. Not good enough. Anyway.
You were saying, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened, but
we were just talking about Chris Greer drafting those guys. You don't think he can let Mike just give up on all those young guys, do you?
You should be yes. Everybody should be fighting for their own personal survival at this point. Like, do you think Mike doesn't have three more games with this offensive line playing like this? Like, do you think I'm going to let Kenneth Grant and Jordan Phillips take me down? Like, do you really think that, you know? And a lot of people think that Anthony Weaver is going to be the interim head coach. The defense is the number one problem on this team. So why would I be elevating a defensive coordinator who's really the worst problem, biggest problem, his unit's the biggest problem on the team?
I don't
know how do you fix that.
I'm guessing if Anthony Weaver could be really honest about the situation, I'm guessing he's not overly excited about the group he has, right? I mean, I guess, you know, and every coach thinks you can coach him up. Austin, coach him up.
Yeah.
Joe, coach him up. Hey, let's coach him up and get after it. And then you're going, now you're sitting here five games in and things are getting worse, not better. And that Carolina team ran the ball like they're the Eagles last year. Really?
But let me ask you a question, Joe. When you have a problem, just like when we had the offensive line problem, you saw that they claimed Cole Strange, right?
Yeah, and he's starting.
You have a defensive problem. What have you done to address it?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Unless you make those drastic changes that we're talking about, which I don't think they're going to do, and that's put more big bodies on the defensive line. But I don't think
they got to. They have. I don't know why Zeke Biggers hasn't played at this point.
I'm with you at that. Hey, man, what we're getting, why not put old Zeke out there and let him grow? Let's see what he can do. I agree.
Like, you're not going to do anything defensively until you start the run. And at this point, these rookies have had to have lost their confidence.
And I told you, if that's a deal, and Austin Clark says, which again, you know, it's a bad look for those guys too. Like, damn, yeah. You know, we're trying to coach them up. Now I see that guys kind of not, you know, now they haven't had success, and they've been so good at Michigan mm-hmm. and dominating, and God, we took them, and we're so excited. We got handpicked the guy we actually wanted. That was it, Kenneth Grannon. Oh, my God, Kenneth. It's just going to take you a while, if ever, man, and you start worrying about that stuff. I agree. By the way, the other problem is, with this being able to run the ball, when they do decide to throw it, you got guys open everywhere. Because you're so worried about the run, right? Yeah. You get frozen up, and guys are running corner routes, and
you're blitzing. And Anthony Weaver said something. He's like he had to justify why he's blitzing so much, because that's not his way generally. And he's like, I'm blitzing to stop the run. And I thought to myself, ooh, that's problem number one.
Yeah.
You're blitzing to stop the run?
Run blitzes, man. Called run blitzes. Guys hitting gaps where you're getting gap where your linemen are getting blown up. Yeah.
Ooh, it's a recipe for disaster, Joe.
No, I hey man, it's bad everywhere. You worried about this thing getting a little shaky? I know Mike right away said, "No, we're together. I checked the room out. It's like, hey, we're all good, Mike."
Mike is delusional at this point, unfortunately. I think we're at the severing point. You know, I lost to the Chargers, and this thing is going to start unraveling real fast.
Omar, you actually, I think, you know, people at the top listen to what you say. What do you think happens if this continues the losing different ways, but same problems? What happens? Where does Stephen Ross, who I know I think he truly likes Mike, and I know he loves Chris. So what happens going forward? Keep everybody, or?
I mean, everybody is going to get whacked eventually. The problem is, if you whack somebody during the season, does it fix any of the issues or problems that you have?
Can it get any worse?
Yeah, it could get worse. Yeah, it actually can get worse. It very well can get worse. You know, Terrell Dotson just, you know, suffered a head injury. Head injuries are never good one way or the other. I don't think he's just going to magically pop up as a linebacker and play next week. So we'll get to see Willie Gay step up. You know, I know KJ Britt played last week, and he's probably better against the run, but you know, Willie Gay is going to get opportunity, and maybe KJ gets opportunity. But you asked if it can get worse. Joe, it can get worse. I promise you it can get worse.
Do they try to run the ball against the Chargers? Do we try it?
See, that's the thing. I don't know if teams just said, hey, no more Tyreek Hill. We ain't got to worry about that. Let's just contain Devon Achane. Let's just stop the run. And I noticed early in the game they were using Devon in a lot of those Tyreek Hill packages.
Yep.
You know, Ali wasn't giving them anything from the run game standpoint. I don't know if this was scheme. I haven't looked at the film yet. I don't know if this was just a different approach, scheme related. Carolina said they didn't do anything extra or different. But, yeah. The recipe against Miami, take away the run, make them one-dimensional, and they should be easy to beat.
I got so many things to talk about. Real quickly, how do you explain Darren Waller not catching the ball in the second half after the first half he had, including two right down the middle? You're going to tell me what took it away again? I want to hear this one, because is it too deep, Joe, again? Yeah.
Honestly, Joe, I think he just ran out of place. I you know, Darren Waller, what has he got, 25, 26 plays in his arsenal right now? Do you think he has a whole playbook?
Well, whatever it is, he's seen in his life all the routes. He's run them all.
Yeah,
there's got to be a way, as I clearly becoming your second best receiver to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt.
That he gets shut out. And what kind of adjustment could they have made to shut out somebody that good?
I'm surprised he's that good. That's one of the bright spots of this season.
Yeah.
However, I will remind you that he's practiced for what, all of 2 weeks on a limited basis?
No, I got you. If it's limited snap count, I get that. Hey, real quickly,
I think Mike ran out of place for Darren Waller. Okay. I really think they utilized us about as much as they got.
Okay. And then Jalen Wright, not active for that game. What's going on there? It wasn't too many months ago that they were pumped about him during minicamp. What happened?
He suffered a knee injury. I don't think he's all the way back. Okay. And to be honest with you, Ollie Gordon is better at this point. Now, why would you go into a game with only two running backs? You know, maybe that's a special teams issue.
Either that or they just knew they're going to throw the hell out of it and not run much, because that's what they did. Hey, thank you, Omar. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right, guys.
All right. Omar Kelly joining us this morning.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Logically, a game like this, where, you know, you have the emotions, you come out, you're ahead, and then all of a sudden, what happens? How do you dig out of that and motivate and get ready for it? Because the game's not going to stop.
The one takeaway that I did receive during the games, there was not splintering, there was not phases being frustrated with each other. Everybody wanted to make a play. Wanted to play 11 people as one. And I think that losses are tough, but who really cares? Like, that we deserve for it to feel terrible. And in that, you find out exactly who people are. I have confidence in who the people are in the locker room. and the coaching staff, and you know, led by me, we have to. No one cares about our feelings, and yeah, that is a hard one to deal with, but it should be. Just as if not more for everybody that decides to cheer for us and turn on the TV. So that's not acceptable. Will never be. And when you have when you win plus minus and you have a 3-score lead, you have to lean on an opponent in both on both sides of the ball on the line of scrimmage, and we were incapable. So I'm going to get back to the drawing board and fix that immediately.
All right, that was Mike McDaniel, our guy Kim Bokamper, asking a lot of questions yesterday. He is obviously a little frustrated. Guy's been with the organization for 50 years since got drafted down here in the first round many, many years ago to what it is right now. It's a lot of frustration, a lot of people that have been affiliated with this thing, and it's just the old, here we go again. What's Mr. Ross going to do? Is anything going to change? Are we just going to keep saying the same things and having the same results? Here we go again. Nobody quit. Yeah, I don't get it. Nobody's going to quit. I mean, you know, you plan for a check and future and want to keep playing and all those things. But it's bad. There should be nobody mad about anything said or written about you or said about you on social media. If you're in there and you're part of that training group, by the way, that whole training facility too, I'm not talking about the trainers, and I'm not talking about the great food they get and all those marks they get, has nothing to do with that. The guys in the front office, led by Chris Greer, the coaching staff led by Mike McDaniel, and the players, I don't know how you turn around right now. We got some deep, serious problems. We can't run the ball and we can't stop the run. That's a big problem. This all goes back. We're going to be more physical and we're going to put more emphasis on being more physical. And we're going to draft a guy in the second round on one side and a veteran on the other, one injured and one really struggling. And then the defensive line, going to be some growing pains, and you got to stick with them. God, I know. Can't believe I said it again. I can't wait to hear Omar too. He's going to join us a little bit later on here, but the young guys have officially hit the wall, but they're not the only ones. Oh, no. There's plenty to go around when you run the ball like that. And by the way, it's not some, they're getting beat on trick plays and stuff. It's running mostly between the tackles. Staying with blocks, a little different blocking schemes, but they're hitting between the tackles. And the holes opened up again yesterday. And you had a backup running back. Rico Dowdle probably going to be player of the week, right, Woody? 23 carries, 206 yards.
Ah, yes, Joe.
9-yard average.
Conversation, yes.
It's
look, man, it gets frustrating every week. You could play the same comments over and over again. We got to look in the mirror. We got, you know, the guys in the locker room.
It's all getting old.
It's the same crap every week, Joe. And I understand like what you're trying to do. You're trying to think of things like what they can do better and how they can fix different. This team sucks. They can't fix any of these things or they would have by now.
Yes.
Right. You're 5 games into this thing and this is what they are. They are. One of, if not the worst team in that league.
They are one of the 7-4 teams. And of course the Jets are the only team left that hasn't won a game. I would just say this, veteran, you're right. Veteran players, what you see is what you get, man. The guys have been around. If they're playing well, Waddle's probably going to keep playing well. The Darren Waller story is truly, it's too bad. I mean, we couldn't get him a ball in the second. It's incredible. Somebody to tell me I can't get you the ball. Can you imagine telling Darren Waller to half, hey, sorry, I couldn't get you the ball in the second half. We couldn't figure out anything. Wait a sec. All those guys that got some form of coordinator behind their name, and we can't figure out a way to get him a ball when a free release 6'6", it can run like that? Sorry. We're going to all meet again. I'd like to see her at some of those meetings from all those brilliant people that know a lot more about football than I do.
And here's the thing. I know fans want blood this morning, but it's like, what are you even going to do at this point, man? Like,
you can't fire
Anthony Weaver the job. Like,
no, you
can't. The defense is horrific.
You can't fire your guys.
You
don't
let him run the thing?
You can't fire your guys. You're right.
It's just so you're just dug into it at this point. But, like, man, you got to go through that. You're five games into this thing. You got a long way to go here of this mess.
All right. Well, I realize that, but let's talk about so how to get changes.
But this was the easy part of your schedule too.
Yeah,
these were like you circled Carolina.
Oh yeah,
I can go back to last week.
Hey, listen,
what you were saying about Carolina?
They're bad. They're not a very good team.
Told me to take me to Catch and Cut. See Bo out there.
I think I
did. Although Bo seems a little bit riled up in that press conference.
He might punch you in the face. So I know he may. Leave that alone for a second.
I'll stay away from all Dolphins.
But I got to tell you, yeah, man, that's a terrible loss. They're a really bad team. They are a really bad team. And they ran, I think they were running for about 100 yards a game. They were struggling. Everything, a passing game. You saw the quarterback.
They probably put all their stats up in that one game, too, right? Where they had that win.
It's just, and they're down 17-0. You're thinking, oh, this game get healthy, fourth quarter maybe get some different guys in and just feel good coming back home for the Chargers and maybe, you know, maybe you can get that thing going. They got their own problems now. They've lost a couple of games in a row. But no. So here's the thing, because everybody been texting me this morning and last night, hey, something's got to be done, man. Something. They're not going to keep doing this. So until they feel it from their fan base, and it affects that part.
But what more can fans do though? Like, I feel like the fans voiced their frustrations last year and the owner
and he
was
still
like,
came back.
No. We're going to do it again, and it's kind of funny. So every time the Dolphins, they tweet out the final score, every game they blow, and I'll look underneath. I just like to read some of the comments, see what people are saying, and there's always a few people that will post that thing that Ross sent out.
Oh, from last year?
Yeah.
That one we got hit with after the game.
Hey, man, I feel so bad for this fan base because it is another year that you have to go through this crap.
Ross was there yesterday.
Was he? He was there again? He's watching this stuff?
No. So, like, I keep hearing he's not happy. He's not happy. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Nobody's happy. No one that likes this team that's grown up or been around this team or just taken on this team and like the colors of the uniform or something, nobody can be happy with this thing, man.
The problem is, what are you going to do now? Like firing Mike, I mean, even if you did that today, if they came out this morning, like Mike's out, are people going to be happy? Like, do you think it doesn't change anything? I think if anything, it'll look worse. I don't think this is all on Mike, to be quite honest with you.
No, I don't
either. I think he's been calling offensively. He's been calling, I don't know, decent enough games, but.
Until yesterday. Yeah.
For a while he was calling.
No, he went through, he did, he's gone through a couple of games where he called really good games, but so now, to your point, and it's a good one, Woody, let's not forget about Chris Greer. Let's not forget
firing
about Chris.
What does that do except for,
what's
like,
that do?
Make fans happy for a day? Like, and then you got to get back to reality of that you have a crap team.
Yeah, but who
firing Chris is not going to make things better right now.
Oh, right now, nothing you can do.
Of course, Chris is not going to survive this year, but like, again, I just at this point in time, what are we doing besides just like helping the fans
trying to
get through this process?
Trying to figure out. I agree. Listen,
Chris Greer
can
never be involved in another personnel decision in this organization.
He can never
be involved again.
I would not allow him to make any moves of any kind. I don't want to hear.
If they're going to start trading guys off before the deadline, if they're going to start doing stuff like that, it needs to be someone else doing it. That'd be the only reason I get rid of the guy. But again, like,
By the way, they let him make some kind of move that's fairly big.
No more save your ass moves.
Yeah.
No more, man.
No more that, hey, how about pulling this one off? And by the way, the timing of Cam Smith getting rid of him was really good to wait till you got a win in there and sneak it in there. That was
these guys are
great PR.
They came back with a significantly worse team than they had the year before.
They did. And you know what?
They sold you on a bunch of crap.
Some people saw it. Some people did see it. And for those of you that didn't drink the Kool-Aid, you're right.
You realize Chris is one of the all-time salesmen, right? Whatever it is that he has been able to sell Mr. Ross on, who was a smart man, obviously.
Well, I will tell you.
Whatever he has sold Mr. Ross on over these last few years.
This is what I always hear with Chris Greer and that beautiful smile and that really friendly personality. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you had a popularity contest at the whole facility and the whole organization, Chris might finish top five.
Yeah. Well, what did it say in that letter? Guy. What did it say? They get everyone gets along or something, or the working relationship?
No, I get it.
Or
his relationship, and I think Stephen Ross from the outside in has given him. Like, I get Mr. Ross that you like him. I get it. I mean, I get it, man. Everybody likes him. Everybody likes Chris. And, but man, it's just time. It's time. I mean, this ain't working. And you're right. You're right on some of this, man. I agree. It's,
and look, man, too, you've been left in the dust by teams like New England, who are in a complete rebuild mode.
Way, that's
they've completely passed your ass
Woody,
off.
That's a great point. They went all in on free agency and they went all in on the draft last year. And look at the results. They took a tough loss a couple weeks ago, turned over five times in a tough last second loss. Look at how they bounced back. They beat the you know what out of Carolina and they went into Buffalo and they friggin' won. Buffalo turns the ball over three times. They went in with confidence, that young quarterback.
They're in the playoffs, by the way. Like, if the season saying they are in the playoffs. They have a winning record.
That was a little dogpiling move on you.
No, it's not.
No, it's
the fact
you win five games.
Like, that team should not be passed where
you're
at
right
now.
You're the fat kid that just jumped on the pile to put so the poor guy at the bottom is, like, crying. Please.
By the way, the Dolphins deserve every piece of dogpiling they get today.
All right, we got to go to break here. Yeah, no question about it. It was brutal. It was brutal, and whatever. The best you can do is I have a good feeling for my guys. They haven't quit on me. Everybody seems to want to get this. I'm like, great. We've heard that. That's great. What are we going to do about it?
You talked to Steve Ross after the game, and can you share anything about the nature of that conversation?
Yeah, he was really frustrated at the he's as I was, and we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers, that was kind of the extent of it.
Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel there. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Toyotaofhollywood.com.
Hey, Mike, I'm not real happy with blowing a 17-point lead to this bad team we just played against. Yeah, I'm not happy either, Mr. Ross. We'll get that fixed. Hey, Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fins podcast and A to Z Sports for NFL, joins us this morning. Kyle, I don't know. Let's start with this. How bad is this starting five on the offensive line? I'm going to talk about a lot of line play with you. I'm just wondering, how bad is it right now that they can't run the ball for more than 82 yards, including whatever that was that they just attempted to do in this last game?
Well, I think it kind of drives you nuts, because the running plan against Carolina was to kind of just ram our head into the wall and try the same thing over and over. And you know, they had eight runs on first down and six of them were outside to the left, right? And Carolina, the one advantage personnel-wise, you looked at what they had and said, hey, that interior group they have with Derrick Brown and Bobby Brown and A'shaun Robinson, that's probably a pretty good matchup for them on the interior. And sure enough, they said, hey, we're going to play kind of this bear style front where we're going to have those three guys occupying some shade on the interior gaps. And then we're going to put somebody tilted outside to whatever your running strength is away from the back, so that when you try to get your run game going that side, we think that player can beat up whoever you're going to try to have that's going to block that guy on the edge. And whether it was Julian Hill, whether it was Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, whether it was Patrick Paul trying to get control of Derrick Brown when he was lined up over top of him, it just didn't happen. Yeah. And instead of trying a different kind of run, we just said, yeah, we're just going to try again to get a different kind of outside zone run to the left. So, like, it wasn't even – I understand that your right guard and Cole Strange and Larry Borum, you don't feel great about their profiles relative to the starters, and you don't want to put them in bad positions and put them at the forefront of the game plan. But the best run that they had, they ran out of pistol with Ollie Gordon when they pulled Jonas Savainai and they ran a counter and they got at least 3 yards out of it. And that's more than you could say for half these other runs. These 8 first down runs that they had, Joe, they got negative 10 yards before contact on 8 runs.
Yeah.
I mean, and some of it's Jonas Savainai, some of it's Derrick Brown being awesome, but a lot of it was just, hey, we're going to try a bunch of different ways to get the same run game going. And whether it's the guy at the point of attack on the line or whether it's we're out aligned and that guy's kicking our butt with whatever skill player we have blocking on the front end. The thing that drove me nuts about it when I watched is you didn't really try anything else. And I understand a lot of your play pass and your play action game is built off of that run action, but you can't just punt and say, ah, well, we tried it. Okay, I guess we're just going to pass the ball.
Yeah.
Especially when you're playing out in front the way that you were.
Let's talk about the D-line. The worst group right now that we have, stat-wise, they're dead last against the run. 174 yards, giving up 5.6 yards per carry. Everybody's all over. And I, and by the way, I want to keep playing them. I'm not going to stop playing them. How much is Kenneth Grant struggling right now, your first-round pick? Let's start with that.
He needs to get his pads down, for sure. He's getting a baptism by fire as far as double teams and duo and combinations. And the anchoring at the point of attack is not great. And then you have these other plays where he kind of is uncovering in the hole. And instead of getting rid of the blocker and giving himself a chance to be uncovered and make a play, he's still kind of stuck on the block and just throwing an arm out there.
Yeah.
And trying to make a tackle through contact. And maybe that was good enough when you're playing at Michigan, right? But these are big bodied, powerful backs, and they run through that.
Yes,
and
they do.
He felt that. So I certainly think, you know, Kenneth Grant, he's been up and down at his best, and at his worst, he's been not good. And I think you saw one of the games that was kind of the struggles and not showing improvement. And through week 5, that's kind of the part for me with the defense as a whole. Kind of, you felt like you saw some incremental progress and you knew there was a lot of news. So, like, I was willing to be patient and give it grace. But, I mean, this was a collapse up front and just catastrophic yeah. inability to defeat blocks. And the best guy on the roster, bar none, who gets off of blocks is your fifth-round rookie, Jordan Phillips, who plays in the A-gaps. And the last 2 weeks, he's played less than 30% of your snaps.
And you think he's actually playing and doing a better job and he's taking less snaps in?
He's a more limited player on passing downs. But I think you have to be willing to live with that at this stage. You know, and he takes double teams. He anchors against double teams. Is he perfect? No, because he's a rookie and yeah. you have some down plays.
Right.
But he's the only guy that I watch who puts his hands in the right place, gets his hips down, stay square to the line of scrimmage, will split a double team and uncover at the point of attack and hold ground to allow the linebackers behind him to play clean. He's the only guy who does it with consistency. And yeah, I think he's deserved on film the opportunity to play more than 23 snaps, which is what he played against the Carolina Panthers with how they were running against you.
Well, the follow-up will be, how is Benito Jones playing? How's Big 95 playing? I want to hear what you watched it.
I don't think Benito Jones gives you the same consistency of anchor at the point of attack. He's another big body type of player, but he just doesn't have the same raw power and strength. And therefore he doesn't anchor as well, but then he's not as laterally dynamic as the other options that you have. So he's the guy that I think is kind of caught in no man's land relative to what you have in Jordan Phillips. And we actually saw more of Benito Jones. He played 20 snaps against Carolina. That was a significant increase for him.
So I want to ask you, I haven't got your thought. I have my own on it. Waller, 5 catches, 78 yards, doing things that we haven't seen, having a tight end run down the middle of field, athletic, 5 for 78 in the first half. He's running like he's 25 years old.
Yeah.
You don't get him the ball in the second half, and you say they took it away. It's just not acceptable to me. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. And for me, I go to personnel usage here for the Dolphins. They're number one in the NFL in EPA out of 22 personnel, which is 2 backs and 2 tight ends on the field. And it's a small sample size. It's only 14 snaps. But they have a better EPA on those 14 snaps than they have in 135 plays when they have 3 wide receivers on the field. And it's like 6 times the amount of EPA. Like, they are significantly better. And they didn't really run it in weeks 2 and 3, but then Waller comes back, and you kind of see this sprinkling of 22, which is 2 tight ends and 2 backs. And that can be Ollie Gordon, and that can be Alec Ingold as your 2 backs. That can be Devon Achane and Ollie Gordon when you want to go passing game. That can
Saw
be
that.
Tanner Connor
yep.
and Darren Waller. That can be Julian. Whatever combination you want it to be, you can go pass heavy with speed, and you can go run heavy with power out of 22. The Dolphins, in the first 18 minutes of the game, they called 5 plays out of 22, including what I thought was their best blocked up run of the day, a 10-yard touchdown pass to Devon Achane in the red zone. They didn't run it at all until they got in the red zone the first time. Then they had a 21-yard pass to Darren Waller out of it. And then they had a minus run at the 13-minute mark in the second quarter. And they did not run another 22 personnel package play until 4:50 left in the fourth quarter. It was a 46-yard touchdown pass. Mm-hmm. So I think you've got personnel usage here that you can use to put Darren Waller in a position to create run-pass conflict a little more consistently, because it was very clearly working for you. And they used it in the red zone at first, and then they had a 1st and 5, and that's when they got the chunk play, the 21-yard play to Waller off of it. And then you did not see it again until 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and you do a deep, an under center heavy look with Waddle, and he runs right by guys, and it gets you the exact look that you say you can't get because everybody plays shell on you. So for me, that's one of those ones where it's who do you want to be versus who do you need to be? And to get away from it the way that did, and I understand that's probably a short yardage and that's probably a red zone package for you. But with what you are personnel-wise now and like the tonality versus saying, hey, we're going to try to run our outside zone stuff and it's not going to work, so we're going to give up, instead of running some 22 and say, hey, let's run some counter. Hey, let's run some power. Let's try to get downhill. Let's try to change the numbers on the map after the snap, not by motion and sending a wide receiver in motion, but by pulling the guard around and wrapping him to the point of attack. Like, that's where I think it has to be different. And Waller fits into that piece of the puzzle with what he is as a flex hybrid tight end weapon that, yeah, I think if you lean into that, you can get more of that action for him throughout the course of his 60-minute game.
I think you agree that going forward, though, this thing is going to start and finish with a majority of it being Waddle, Waller, and Achane. Would you agree? I mean,
yeah,
same place.
I think so.
Getting Achane out wide. He's not going away from it. He's addicted to running it out there and getting him the ball in space, and receivers sometimes pulling a lineman out there to get in the play as well and let him try to get it. And then as Waller, I guess, gets a little better football shape, more and more snaps for him. But, that was a great teaser in the first half. Hey, 4th and 17, Finns punt, 1:10 left.
Yeah.
What do you think of that decision? I kind of go back and forth. I get it. You got three timeouts. People go, you can't stop them. Why would you do that knowing you can't? And you actually stopped them the first two runs. What'd you think of it?
Yeah, so I thought with the running clock mixed with, you know, the Dolphins used to be the kings of long yardage conversions offensively. And that's obviously kind of gone by the wayside since 2023. I didn't like it for the sense that with the running clock, like, you took the snap, I think it was a minute 46 seconds left when you took the third down play and you got sacked within 2 seconds because you took a bad L at left guard. And then by the time you punted the ball, it was like a minute. You lost like a third of the time that was left on the game.
You did.
By the time you switched the personnel packages out. So with three timeouts, I know you're backed up. You're on the 15 and you're down by three. The challenge of, hey, we haven't really stopped them defensively. The fourth down analytics calculator said you had a 1% better chance of win probability if you punted the ball. But that calculator doesn't take into account the fact that your corners have been grabby all game.
They were.
And that you're giving up 7.5 yards per run across the entire game and have given up to effectively 240 yards on the ground. So that, for me, was, if you go by the raw numbers, the argument is there to be made that you punt, you take the three timeouts, you potentially get the ball back, needing to get probably 50 yards in maybe 45 seconds of game clock to get a chance to kick the field goal. Or you could try to get the conversion, and then if you don't get it, use your three timeouts to force them to kick a field goal, and then you can get a kickoff. And we just watched that in the game last night where Kansas City they take the lead, and then Butker kicks the ball out of bounds on the kickoff, and it comes out to the 40-yard line.
Yeah.
Like, it just made it, when you put it in the context, in my opinion, of what the defense was and was not doing for you on Sunday, I would not have made that decision. I would say, hey, if we don't get it, I'm going to live with the fact that if we get three stops and we use our three timeouts, they kick a field goal, we could still win the game with a touchdown, and we get that kickoff sequence to start things over again. And I burn probably 25 less seconds off the game clock to work with.
Are you, you're still with me, the young guys got to keep playing, right? Including if this thing doesn't get better, I want to see more Zeke Biggers. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you have to. And I think that's one of the indictments of kind of the way that the roster construction has played out the last couple of years, is, and they set it up front when they drafted these guys. Like, we drafted these guys, they need to come in and play. And a lot of organizations don't necessarily do that. I mean, shoot, look at Patrick Paul as an example internally of a guy who got a chance to come in and get some playing time, but was built up into an opportunity.
Yeah.
And how good he has been this year. I think he's been phenomenal this year. But that's not really the situation you left yourself in. And because of that, I don't think I think you got a guy who's shown a lot of potential as a run defender who can't get on the field for 30% of the snaps the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And you've given up 450 yards on the ground the last 2 weeks.
Right.
So, yeah.
Can this thing be fixed? Or, you can't flip this roster. This is what you have, man. And I try to explain, the guys on the street at this point, after everybody's injuries around the league and practice squads, guys coming up and street guys going to the practice squad. This is what you have. Can it get better by technique and all those things? Or is it just, the last 2 weeks have been really bad with the Jets and the Panthers.
Well, I think it can, because you're talking about young guys, right? And remember what the conversation was around Chop Robinson this time last year. Like, Chop Robinson really didn't have the light bulb come on until
first,
like,
six games. That was bad. Year. You're right.
So, like, we're still in that stratosphere. Now, do I expect you're going to see that level of a dramatic, seemingly overnight, was what it felt like it was for Chop, improvement? Like, I think it'd be reckless to project that or assume that that's going to happen. But because we're talking about so many young guys, yes, I think there is a chance that these guys do incrementally start to show improvement and get better and are more comfortable. And I think the coaching staff probably figuring out what these guys really are and how to use them and how to play guys' traits together because of everything new. But things have to start changing. And I don't know whether that is from a front perspective. If you want to maybe be a little bit more aggressive and say, hey, guys, if we're going to get washed out of here, we're going to give up these big lanes. At least let's try to beat the angles to the backs tracks in the backfield create some redirect or create some chaos in the backfield.
What do you think about that? And we got to go. I'm running super late. Run another defensive lineman on there until you get this thing taken care of. You think that's in consideration? I know.
So I wasn't super high on the way that they were giving up the C gaps against Carolina. And it was exposing both of the two defensive tackles that they played with to a lot of double teams. And that was creating the movement. But the challenge with that is, what do you have on the back end? Like, you're on your fifth option for a nickel corner, right? We're already complaining about they're dropping the edges too much to play in coverage.
Yeah.
So like, you're kind of damned if you do and you're damned if you don't in that regard. But if you're not going to win on early downs and you're kind of screwed either way, then I think you probably should play a little bit more base and play some more out fronts.
Yeah. Hey, Kyle, thank you. Really appreciate it. Hang in there, man. I hear that frustration today. Thank you.
Hey, you too, brother.
Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fins podcast, joining us to break it down a little bit.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Number 58 from San Jose State, out of Milpitas High School, Kim Boekerper.
Are you glad you got that out of the way? Joining us is Kim Boekerper. And Bo, thanks for coming on here, a special edition of Football Friday. And by the way, thank you for pushing me to get that colonoscopy done, brother. I appreciate it. I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't even thinking about it, man. And you started, and you had a good story of your own. I was like, he's right, man. I went home and started thinking about it. So thank you. I got it.
Well, I wasn't worried about you going in and having it done. I was worried about you the night before for the that process.
Oh, Lord.
That's not a fun thing right there.
Lost a lot of weight, but that was the only good thing to come out of it. Hey, Bo, so we got a lot to talk about. Listen, man, yeah. I know it's a broken record, and Woody's rolling his eyes getting ready to blast me again. They got four or five offensive linemen out. They got their starting tackles out, who are both high first-round picks and really good players, and Slater and all. If there's ever a game that your defensive line was going to get this thing figured out, it's when everybody on that O-line is basically banged up or out of this game. Do they make changes besides the arm tackling I heard about yesterday from Anthony Weaver? Could you see some small changes going into this game and something else they can do?
Yeah, I think so. But look, Joe, we went into Carolina. Oh, they got the backup running back. And
right.
I think one of their guards was hurt.
Yes.
And look what happened to us.
Yeah.
You know, I remember playing – and playing a game where there was a bunch of guys out. And so, you know, and look, you do everything that you're doing normally during the week, but kind of going, these guys. And then all of a sudden we're down by 10 or something. You go, oh my God, what happened? You know? And so I'm not, you know, I tend to kind of try to stay away from that. Although it's human nature. Oh, look, half their guys are out and this and that or whatever. They got this problem or that problem. But look, So if you're the Chargers, you're looking at the Dolphins.
Yes.
And saying same thing, right?
Yes.
Oh, they got a bunch of guys out. They got a bunch of rookies playing. None of them are playing really well. You know, this and that. And so, I don't know. It's just, you know, I think where we're at right now, you can't really take your belt, tighten it up, and say, hey, we're going to win this one. You know what I mean? But you talked about the defense. I think I'm not going to say it's a simple solution to the defense, but I think part of it is, and you know, we're reading or, you know, hearing what Anthony Weaver said and kind of got thrown under the bus by the coach, you know, and that I'd like to have been in a room for that conversation. But, you know, to simplify it, I would say everybody just do your own job.
Yeah.
Right. Don't be, you know, so he talked about, they talked about the front, the defensive line, which they only play two or three guys, and they tried some four man line. They're kind of moving things around there, but you know the defensive lines. The first thing they got to do is be able to keep people off their linebackers. They've got to keep them on the line of scrimmage, and stay in their positions and not let them get to the second level, because they get to the second level and they miss. Then that third level is just, you know, just pick and choose where you want to go.
Right.
And the other thing too is, look, you know, for 3 weeks they had no turnovers, and so over the last couple weeks the emphasis was on turning the ball over. Well, you know, there's two ways to turn the ball over, and the way that, I mean, I'm talking about not from an interception standpoint, but from a fumble standpoint.
Yeah.
First guy stands the guy up. And then the rest of the guys try to punch the ball out. And I think they're getting it. And it, look, that's what Anthony Weaver talked about. Guys were just trying to punch the ball out. And while they're punching the ball out,
guys are running.
You know, look, I've seen this. We've seen this time and time again, Joe. Guy gets some wraps money. He's punching the ball out. Meanwhile, the guy's still running 10 yards down the field, right?
Yes.
So I think you've got to be smart. You got to be smarter at that. You know, it was always, you know, hey, first guy holds him up. And then here comes the cavalry trying to punch the ball out. So got to be a little bit of that. And I don't know what you do about the defensive linemen. You know, Jordan Phillips, in the first couple games, we were going, oh, he's playing pretty well. Kenneth Grant has not played well at all. In fact, I mean, he got pushed around. In the last couple games, he got pushed around pretty well by the offensive line. So he's got to find a way to be more stout. But you got nowhere to go, Joe. You those are the guys you put in, you know, and the same thing on the offensive side with
Savaya Naya.
He's struggling out there, but it's much like I always go back to the Patrick Paul thing. If he wouldn't have those 350 snaps he had last year, we wouldn't see we may not be seeing the way he's playing now, you know, in that same. So it's kind of like these guys got to go through it and figure it out. And as they're figuring out, you got a bunch of rookies out there. They're trying to figure it out, and it's a tough proposition.
Yeah, because I don't think any of us, and maybe shame on us, Bo, but we kind of looked at this young class and goes, man, we're going to have a lot of them really help us, and we're going to be really good. And we didn't know their rankings were going to be almost dead last in the league for their positions in some cases. I just worry about confidence, Bo. As long as they have confidence, I'm good to go. But if it's like, oh, damn, it just happened again. Yeah. Oh, here we go again. And they put their head down. Not that you got much to do. I mean, you got Benito Jones and Matthew Butler. We're rotating everybody as it is. So,
it's a
tough situation.
Joe, this you know, the other thing too is this. Let's go back to training camp, right? Let's go back to preseason games. So we go in first preseason game. I don't think Kenneth Grant played much after that first preseason. You know, we've seen enough of him. Well, no, you didn't, you know? And so those rookies that you're throwing in there and all of a sudden, and you know, for what the only valuable practices they had from rookies from being to where you want to get them is were the joint practices with the Bears and the Lions. And then three preseason games, and a couple of them didn't play a lot in a couple of those games. So now you come into week one and it's all go all the time. And these guys they're not prepared for it. You know, it's going to be a learning thing, and they can't, what are they going to do? Sit all those guys down?
No,
they can't do that.
This is all you have, man. The drop off for everybody wants you to go out and find something else. It's just, not there.
But so to your point from confidence, you know, what happens if the Chargers come in here?
Oh man.
You get the ball first, your offense goes nowhere, Chargers go right down the field and score, and then you get the same thing, and next thing you know, you're down 14-0. You know, then what happens? And look, I'm not saying that's gonna be the case, but it certainly could be from what we've seen over the course of this season. Then that confidence starts to waver, right? Not only with the guys that are having trouble, but the guys that are trying to do their job and help those guys, they're in a bind. So,
Hey, Bo, I got to bring this one up. Tua talks, and at some point talks about team, and he says all the right things, but then somehow he goes, I go home, I'm fine, I don't pay attention to what anybody says. He gets in the family and the kids, and it just – sometimes, Bo, I feel like our fan base, you for sure, I just heard you got to tell me what you're feeling just to this whole thing about after games. You want to know those guys really, really friggin' care. I get they get their money no matter what and stuff.
Yeah.
He just says things sometimes that just, I don't really want to hear my quarterback saying. I think Woody's on to something. What's your take?
Well, you know, it's funny because I'm usually not in the interview room when Tua talks or Mike talks, and just circumstances last week I was, just because they came in really quickly, and so I was in there, and so I'm listening to a talk and it was just kind of just not the words he was saying, just his body language in this. It's just like, you know, here's what I would want to see: my quarterback come in there and feel hurt and know that he's hurting and know that he's disappointed. I mean, he came in like a college professor and look, he answered the questions and blah, blah, blah. And he was, you know, okay. But, you know, it seemed like just matter of fact, like, Where's your heart at? Where's your heart? You just got beat in one of the worst games you could possibly see, and it's kind of like, okay, just another day, you know. You want to see and look, maybe that's him trying, because look, the guy has been polarizing since he was in college and coming out of college, and
that's
and
true.
He's certainly been raked over the coals here in South Florida, and so maybe that's his way just to deal with it and get through it.
Yeah, maybe look, you're right. Everybody's different.
But look, it doesn't. I don't think it plays well with. Certainly doesn't play well with me. I don't think it plays well with you. And I think most of the fans are going, was this guy? Is this guy emotionally involved, or concerned about it? It just seems like
Yeah.
It's just another day, you know?
Well, I don't want to hear about potato chips on the couch, and I don't want to hear about you can't play this position, which we all know, obviously, you and I can't play that position.
Well, look, this, and I think he said this twice, why don't you come up and see how you would do or some guy sitting, like Hollywood, sitting in the sofa with a bucket of ice cream and potato chips and stuff. And said, hey, why don't you come in here and try this? You know what I mean?
Well, the fact that Woody would have to get away from that ice cream and potato chips would piss him off to start with.
Which will never happen.
Which he doesn't want.
By the way, I think Woody told me that you owe him a dinner at Catching Fire.
I do. He tried to. Way to bring it up, Bo. I do. Hey, Woody, he brought it up. You know how many times he brought it up Monday?
Woody, let me just give you a heads up. Next week is the snow trap season. It's opening up on the 17th or something, and we're going to bring out the Colossos right off the bat. You might want to choose that day for. Tell Joe to go to the bank and let's go to the restaurant.
Hey, you know what? I do owe him, and I actually, because last time we did. I lost a bet. We went to Joe's, and so I am going to go up there, and I'm going to enjoy him myself, but he trying to bring the family and the wife and stuff. I go, no, your wife ain't going to this. She got to stay home and take care of the kids. This is just you. Don't be bringing Vladdy and all the other guys who are drinking doubles on me there on the party. So, yeah, Bo, man, I was just, trying to figure out. 14 carries, 19 yards. That can't ever happen again. I don't care who we're playing. You agree?
No.
We got to be able to run it on the other side, too. And I know we got some guys that are having problems like most teams right now.
Yeah. Yeah, but look, wasn't that going in? Wasn't that the thought? Like, just run the football. You run the football well. Run the football. You know, you lost Tyreek. Pound that running game. And, boy, I don't know what happened, Joe. I really don't know what happened. I think Savai and I had a bad game. And I think Paul probably didn't have the type of game that he's used to having. And let's not forget, you got a right side where those two guys, and I don't know, Daniels and Austin Jackson, when are these guys going to stand up and play football, Joe?
I don't know.
Daniels plays three plays for the season. Jackson plays about a half of a game, and here we are coming into what week are we into now? Seven or what week? We're six.
What is six? Yeah, six games.
Week six, and they're available to come off. And Mike, well, they're not ready, and maybe another couple of weeks or I've seen guys who like. That had shoulder surgery and it come back faster than these guys.
I don't know, man. I just hope guys want it. I hope guys haven't shut down and we'll find out. I'm sure this is going to be another one that goes right down to the wire again with their injury and stuff. So we'll see. But hey, Bo, thanks, man. Appreciate you coming on this morning. Thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. We'll catch up with you later on.
All right, I'll see you in a little while. Kim Bo Camper joining us too. Talk a little bit about the Miami Dolphins. I know I owe you, man. Go ahead, say something. You can say something. It's all right.
No, I didn't know stone crab season was coming up. Sounds good.
Fresh. Wait, the guy had to open his mouth. I was going to take you during that anyway. I was waiting for the stone crabs to take you for my lost bet. You're probably going to want to make another.
You
want
to go double or nothing this weekend? No. See how good you're feeling about the Chargers?
No, I'm not. I'm not doing that, man.
I'll bring everyone here. We'll bring the whole family.
I know. Yeah.
We'll go double or nothing if you want.
They weren't very nice to me on that bill that day. They guys loaded up. They thought I was some rich guy or something the way they were acting. I want to get into this a little bit for players. And, I heard you were going after pretty good with the Tua sound yesterday and everything about no matter what, I'm going home and be with my family and I let it go and all the things that he says and hang with my wife and my kids love me no matter what. And so, and I get it. I do understand that it does drive some people completely nuts and players do certain things after games that piss me off. I've been very open about guys taking selfies, and after we get our ass kicked, and Ryan Tannehill and his wife taking, sending out pictures together in the car, smiling and hugging each other. Like, why don't you just do that at home and not send that out to your fan base? That was kind of my message, and really turned me off on Ryan Tannehill, besides some of the bad games he had. But I will go back to this every time, and it's the way it is. It's especially the way it is now that the salaries have exploded. Top picks and players that get that second contract to be some of the top paid players in their positions, life changes. Congratulations, you got the money. Hey, man, you earned it. And nobody ever going to hate. Nobody ever going to hate on somebody getting money, especially if they're really good. Or being a first-round pick. It's an honor. Being a first-round pick is cool. Like getting up there now more than ever, being a first-round pick in any sport, but especially in the NFL because it's such a big deal, because the sport is so popular, is really cool. But I got to tell you, no matter what, and Coach Weaver talked about this, and hey, man, the heat is now starting to pick up on Kenneth Grant. And fair or not, and I don't think whatever happens in the first five games is going to be his career. I hope you're smarter than that to not say this guy's going to be a bust, he's done, because then you're not really thinking this thing out either. You got to play more than five games before you decide if somebody can play or not. But, you want to see guys making plays, and if they don't, and your TV eyeballs, or you're in person, and you keep seeing a guy run at a certain area, and you see old 90 getting pushed aside one way or the other or straight back, and you're going, that's our first-round pick, I get it. Because you know first-round picks get big, life-changing signing bonuses before they ever play. Tua, that's the second tier of guy. When you become a frontline quarterback, fair or not, and you get franchise quarterback money, and he did. He got thrown into the party with a whole bunch of, well, I don't say a whole bunch, maybe 10. What do you have? And look, maybe 10 guys hit the 50-plus now party. Not sure exactly what the number is. Some have hit lower now. And this is average, and a lot of the money he already got. I'm throwing average in. And I know Omar likes to throw, and it's actually 42. But some of that money he got up front was mixed into to the number that everybody comes out with on average. Look at, man, when you get paid that money, fair or not, no matter what's around you, you're going to probably take more heat than anybody else if you're not winning games. It's just the way it is. It's not personal against Tannehill. It's not personal against Tua. It's not personal against Kenneth Grant. It's just you had chances in the end of the fourth quarter to make plays and lead your team. And again, people going, oh, but that's not fair. This guy broke down and the O lineman broke down on that. It's happening everywhere, man. The breakdowns of offensive linemen are breaking down everywhere. Some guys are able to keep plays alive. Hey, by the way, sometimes, including the guy, this guy, Justin Herbert. Nobody's going to want to hear about Justin Herbert's four or five guys out this week. Whatever the final number is going to be, they're coming in today. And nobody's going to go, poor Justin Herbert. Man, I got to tell you, it's not fair to him. He got paid. He joined the big club too, man. And it's the way the fans and the media are going to look at you. And no matter what you're – and by the way, I'm glad Coach Weaver said, hey, man, don't listen to the noise. And by the way, any guy that's getting – there's no way if you do any dabble of – any little bit of social media, or if you have family, not it's impossible for your whole family and people around you that you care about not to give you updates on what everybody's saying about you in the media, the local media. Hey, I know one thing. They hear everything Omar Kelly says. Everything Omar Kelly. They are affected. I'm stroking Omar Kelly. They hear everything Omar Kelly says. I know that. Not from him. I know that for other things that other side of it that I've heard.
Which, by the way, is not a good thing.
No, but
they shouldn't be listening to what Omar has to say.
Well, he's on their highway, a platform highway.
But I'd rather that than guys come out and say, I don't hear any of it. Doesn't bother me. I just go home.
Well, first of all, if you think he doesn't hear anything, it's a bunch of, you know what? You're ready to push
the
button.
I know you're going to swat. You want to hear from him? I want to get
no,
you riled
I don't
up
want to hear
it. Can I get you riled up this morning?
I don't want to hear it. You beat it up hard yesterday. I really don't want to hear it.
I would say it hasn't been as difficult this year, just because, as I've said in prior interviews, I'm not on social media. Like, I don't have any of that. And then outside of that, like, I go home, I see my kids, whether I throw five picks or five touchdowns, we win the game, we lose the game. I get to come home to my kids, who are happy to see me every time.
I get it, man.
Do you?
I get it. No, I'm used to it.
You say it's easier this time around? I'm glad it's easier, man.
Like he said, he's cutting out noise, which, by the way, I don't believe, because he turns around, I hear his two of his quarterbacks from his draft class are dating hotties, and he knows that.
He did know that, yeah.
So apparently, what was he pick and chooses? A little TMZ in there, or maybe a buddy told him, hey, a couple guys in your draft class are dating some hotties if you want to take a look at them. Of course, you know.
His press conferences have become train wrecks.
No,
man.
They are.
They are just absolute train wrecks.
And by the way,
you don't want fans thinking you care
more than
the quarterback does.
Save him from himself. I agree. But
fans should be pissed off when they hear that stuff, man. We got fans that are stewing over these losses, that are calling post game shows, that are angry.
Well, we need thank God they do. Keep us in business.
Yeah, but Tua's at home playing with his kids. You care more than he does, apparently.
Hey, man. I mean, reality is that you do have to let it go. Like, you can't sit around and let it bother you.
No, I know.
You're really, I mean.
But just get up to the podium for the 10 minutes a week that you speak publicly, because you're a recluse and you don't, you know, get out and do anything. For those 10 minutes, just act like you care.
Yeah.
Just at least let me believe that you care about what's going on.
So I would say, like I say to you sometimes, he's an introvert.
I understand that. But he's also the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins.
Hey, listen, man. He says
what you signed up for, man.
He gets going on his press conferences, and then he says something. I see guys are really hitting him hard. Somebody's on the show me the money thing, which, again, like, walks out, and instead of saying, hey, thank everybody, I'm so glad I'm going to be here and stuff, he comes running out saying, show me the money. And I was like, you know, you're like, ooh. You got the money. Ooh. Hey, not hating. Nobody forced that team to give you the money. You got it. Ooh, though, on that comment. Ooh. And, yeah, he is. Sometimes I wonder about things that he says. Yeah, there is no doubt about it.
And then to add to it, man, like, I don't know how much.
But
that
you know
game.
What I care? I want to see him play front line.
Yeah,
Sunday at 1 o'clock,
which he's not capable of doing. But if you watch that game last night,
I know. But you're going
that quarterback, that rookie quarterback on the New York Giants. That's the kind of personality you want in a quarterback.
I get it.
That's a dude.
By the way, right off the bat, oh, listen to you. You just went, dude.
Is he not?
Hey,
that's the kind of guy you want playing quarterback for your team.
I just want to tell you this. First of all, when I'm seeing in this league, another quarterback runs for 50 yards last night, takes off. And things break down because you're going to get pressure, takes off, and runs 20 yards for a touchdown.
Do you see how his teammates respond to him, though?
Yes.
It's just the overall, the whole thing just feels different.
Yeah. Well, there is a lot of things, but
those guys don't rally around Tua.
I got to tell you, man, I don't think he'd really, if everybody's to be honest, and we didn't have players like doing the fake, he's our guy and all that stuff, because I think there is some of that about how they, but look at, man, I don't think he's one of those guys going to go out and grab a beer with the guys. I don't think he's not my guy. My guy, besides his talent, if my guy said we're going out, we're going out. Don Strock said we're going out, we're going out. Different guys. Now, Bob Greasy wasn't that way. Bob Greasy was all business. And if you're really good and you're getting it done, you get respect that way too. He's a little different, but he's our different dude, and he's good. You go along with it. Because you're going to get some guys that are different. But you cannot be getting it done and we and everybody like he was doing there for a while. Looks like he's kind of done with that we thing. Anyway, hey, this is a week to get healthy, man. This is a week to get healthy and get some things done. Woody, you're going to have to let it go, though. Seriously, we're getting close to game time, and you're still beating that thing up. Like, he's going to say things. He's going to say things that give us material for this show.
Well, just make sure you don't take it too hard if they lose on Sunday, okay? You get out of that stadium and you go home and
I'm all right. I'm all right after a couple days.
Family and
I
say after a couple days.
Yeah.
Okay. I want you to be okay. You could stew on the drive home, but after that, man, it's over. I mean, you let it go.
Is this for me or him you're talking right now?
No, for you, for both of you guys, but especially you.
Well, listen,
because you dwell on the losses. They kill you.
I do for a couple days, but then I'm fine.
And your guys too, man. I know everyone seems to hurt around you.
All right, man. We got to go to break.
Where's the mayor, Milpitas? Doesn't it bother him?
Yeah, he takes him real hard. Did you hear him on the question?
Yeah, I heard him on the question.
He was waiting for somebody to give him some kind of attitude so he could snap on a head coach and a quarterback.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.